From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Pete Stoughton is out today on assignment. Well, Park City is full of world-class athletes, and my next guest, Adam Loomis, is certainly one of them. With a background as a national Nordic combined athlete for 6 years to his current obsession, ultra running, there are just no athletic limits for Adam Loomis. He also sets out a great model for athletic achievement for the younger aspiring athletes by now coaching Nordic combined. He joins me by phone. Adam Loomis, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Maybe we'll start with today and then go backwards with your history. Let's talk about that Teton Crest run that you have the fastest known time on, 40-mile run through the Tetons.
Yeah, so that probably one of the more amazing runs I've done, and I've definitely done some good ones. It's an iconic run that goes from the Teton Pass, kind of on the back side of the Tetons themselves on the west side. And I ran it with a buddy a few weeks ago who had the idea. He suggested we go up and figured we'd give the fastest time a crack. And it wasn't, like, the only goal, but we both went into it like, well, if someone has a good day, and somebody should go for it, and that ended up being me on that day.
Right. So it's 40 miles. What were you carrying? Because if you're starting on Teton Pass and you're heading off on the crest, you probably don't have food drops, I would imagine.
No, it's short enough that it's pretty easy just to carry enough energy food on the pack. And then luckily, biggest thing to carry the heaviest is water, but there's plenty of water along the way, so we just carry a little filter bottle and refill as you go.
Okay, so at any one time, you're not carrying more than, say, 20 ounces or so, huh?
Yep, probably around that, a couple pounds total weight.
I always love to ask athletes, especially world-class athletes like yourself, what their current diet is. And, you know, there, it seems like there are always new products coming on, new bars, new powders, new pills. And do you go for the new things, or do you have these old tricks that always work for you, like carrying a hamburger along? You hear the craziest things.
I can do a hamburger on a bike, but not when I'm running. I don't have anything, any crazy tricks. I guess my biggest thing is variety. I was, especially on stuff like that, I usually try to think about, okay, I'm going to want this here and this there. And I've started to realize that, like, I'm not going to know until I get into it. So especially if something where I can drop food, like, I'd rather just put in five options and pick two of them based on what looks good.
Right, because your stomach is always a little bit on edge when you're doing this sort of endeavor. Is that right? Or have you perfected it to the point where your stomach is sort of bulletproof?
No, I definitely haven't. I wish I could say that.
All right, so how long did that Teton Crest run take you, the 40 miles?
That was 6.5 hours.
Wow, that's impressive. So as a, you know, you started off as probably cross-country skiing and then maybe getting into some Nordic jumping and then Nordic combined, and now you're an ultra runner. But I would assume that maybe you've always been a good runner, or is this a newfound passion?
I've always been a runner. I've definitely always been a slow twitch endurance guy. Even as a Nordic combined athlete, I would say that, the longer stuff suited me better. And I ran cross country in high school, but I wasn't like, you know, I was okay, but there were definitely faster kids than me on my team.
Right. What attracted you? And I mean, I know you grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So lots of cross country skiing there. And that's sort of the passion in the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And And yet you headed into this world of Nordic jumping. And I have to say, I think Nordic combined is one of the craziest sports out there, because you have, you know, there's so between the two sports of cross country and Nordic and ski jumping, you have to have all kinds of skills, right?
Yeah, totally. They really only alike in the sense that they're on skis and they stay in the Nordic countries. But they're skill set wise totally different, which is what makes it a really exciting and challenging sport. And getting back to how I got into it, in the Midwest, there's quite a culture of ski jumping and cross country skiing. There used to be little clubs all over, and there's still a good handful. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a place that had both cross country skiing and ski jumping.
Okay. And then is it obvious to come out to either somewhere like Park City or Steamboat Springs to further your career?
Yeah, so I moved to Steamboat Springs first, started spending more and more time there in high school, and then I moved out right away after high school, because that was where all the best juniors were. So that was kind of like my giving it a go, seeing if I could make it to the national team, which I was able to after a couple years. And then the entire U.S. Nordic combined team is based out of Park City, so I didn't have a choice, but I also wasn't exactly bummed about that.
Yeah, when you compare Park City to the other places that you have approached this athletic endeavor of Nordic combined, what are the big benefits of living here?
Well, first of all, just having the entire team in one place is huge. But the facilities here, both, you know, the Olympic Park, training centers, Soldier Hollow, and then just terrain, was the roller skiing around town, the bike paths are amazing, the cross country skiing in the winter is great. It's pretty hard to beat.
I have to say, I love it when I am driving down the road. It's usually when I'm in my car, and which I immediately feel bad about, but I see this group of people doing the what is it called? You just said it, when they're going along on the pavement on roller skis, and there'll be a big group of people. They're all very fit. Who are those typically out there roller skiing?
Well, it could be the national team. It could be University of Utah, or it might be some of the Park City ski and snowboard kids. Or who knows, it could be just some recreational people. There's a pretty big community here.
Yeah, absolutely. So which of those teams are you currently coaching now that you've retired from Nordic Combined?
Yep, so I coach the Park City Ski and Snowboard ski jumping team and Nordic Combined athletes, primarily on the ski jumping side, just because Emma Gerard and Gordon Lang have such a strong cross-country program that we're able to partner with them. But, you know, I certainly like to coach the cross-country side as well when I can.
It seems like Nordic combined for a young person may be a little bit easier to talk them into. Nordic skiing in general, cross-country skiing, is so difficult. It's a beautiful, wonderful sport, but it is really grueling. Is there something about, you know, the young people to attract them over to ski jumping because, you know, it's a gravity sport. It's a little easier on the body.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of appeals to both types. Some people, like, are no way, ski jumping's not for me. And that when you start small, that perspective is often changed. With any sport, if you can start young, it definitely makes it easier. In cross-country skiing, what gets people is that nobody's good at it the first few times, because not only is it endurance aerobic based, but it's also really technical. But if you can develop those skills, then it's a pretty smooth, easy motion. And it's the same thing with ski jumping, where it's just a progression. You can certainly start. We have athletes in their 20s. We've had parents that come out and ski jump with us. It just takes a little bit more of a strong head to get over the fear that you develop later in life.
Yeah, I've taken a class or two, and I think I'm flying so far. And as it turns out, I barely made it off the ground.
Hey, it's a start.
Yeah, it's a start. But actually, that brings me to the point that when even on the K-120, for example, you're only how high above the ground when you're flying?
Yeah, it's not super high. Like, 10 feet high on a ski jump is pretty high. Maybe on the big hill you're talking on the 120, a little higher than that. But it's just the hills are so well designed that you're following the contour the whole time. So it might, to the athlete and to a spectator, it might seem like they're, you know, 50 feet in the air, but that's never going to happen.
Right, right. And actually, surprisingly, it makes Nordic ski jumping what the second safest Olympic, Winter Olympic sport, I'm assuming, after curling.
Yep, exactly. Curling is the safest. And then statistically, at the Olympic level, we're just tied with cross-country skiing, which is, it sounds crazy, but it's far safer than any other extreme sport, not to mention, typical team sports.
That's interesting and a little bit unfair than that depiction of, you know, the video that we've all seen so many times for decades, you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and it shows a Nordic ski jumper crashing and it looks horrific.
Right. That definitely didn't help our image. And, I mean, the potential consequence is there, but it's just very unusual that those type of crashes happen. I've never seen that sort of crash.
Right. Well, that's good to know. You are a Honey Stinger athlete. There's a good bio of you on the Honey Stinger site. And of course, that must be one of the things that you take along. But you can only eat so much honey.
Totally. You can only eat so much honey. The quickest way to get sugar and energy into your body is like a gel or two. The waffles are maybe a little more real food, which I like, and I can stomach those pretty easily.
Yeah, those are good. Great. Well, take us through a little bit more about what you're doing. I think either coming up this weekend or last weekend, you did some other incredible ultra running challenge here in the Wasatch. Is that right?
Yeah. So this was it was last weekend. It originated with, I was actually through Honey Stinger, I got a spot in Run Rabbit Run, which is a 100-mile race in Steamboat. I've never ran 100 miles. And then that got canceled, but I was really excited. Just having a big, scary goal goes a long ways. Mm-hmm. So I thought about what I could do, and I came up with it just seemed like such a cool route to start in Park City, run Crest Trail of Park City, run into Mill Creek, Big Cottonwood, some of the ridge line between Big and Little Cottonwood. And then I was hoping to run all the way to Mount Timpanogos and finish with that. So I set out to do that on Saturday night. I started in the evening right before sunset so I could do some of the least technical stuff in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike some of the runs I've done, this one went from hero to zero pretty fast, where my stomach turned on me. I had to dump out some sports drinks, so I didn't have a lot of water. And a section that I thought would take 2.5 hours took closer to 4. So it got pretty hard. I was in pretty deep for like close to 10 hours of time. And then I ended up calling it at Alta, which was a little bit disappointing. But at the same time, it wasn't a race. It was just me trying to run this route. And, you know, it's something I'd like to do again. And even more so, I'd like to see someone else do it.
Yeah, that sounds really good. See someone else do it. no doubt the Wasatch 100 was, you know, postponed or canceled this year. And you were running probably a portion of that route, but then going off, because that always ends in Midway, I believe, but going off towards Timpanogos.
I would be on that. I didn't make it to that section, but I would have been on that ridge trail. That's like a moto trail for probably 10 miles and then keep heading towards Timp.
Right. Is that the Great Western Trail that heads toward Timpanogos?
I don't think so. I think it's like just Ridge Trail 157. It's kind of off the beaten path. I haven't been on the whole thing. I would have imagined probably would have been a lot of down trees. But it's a cool section. I want to get out there.
Yeah, boy, that is a problem since, you know, the big storm of a couple weeks ago, lots of trees down across the trail. And when you're tired, it's really difficult to hoist your body over it, let alone, you know, if you're biking, your bike as well.
Right.
Yeah. So you were putting together on that route also 100 miles or no?
Yep. It was going to be 100 miles. It was definitely not an easy route. It would have came in around 28,000 feet of elevation gain.
Wow.
When I finished, it was around a little over 60 miles and 18,000 feet of gain. So, like I said, it was still enough to definitely beat me up.
Right, right. Well, I know that you're joining Leslie Thatcher tomorrow, I believe it is, on the local news hour to talk about the big race at the Utah Olympic Park coming up, and I won't blow that, and you'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow, but just really briefly, tell us what that is.
Yeah, so these are going to be much more approachable. These races are four races on Friday evenings. The first one's 4 miles, but it's almost on trail at the Utah Olympic Park. The longest one is 7 miles. We have one that's going to be like Red Bull 400, but you come back down and you do loops, criterium style. So it can, you know, we could definitely, an elite racer could come out, or, you know, hikers could go out and hike the course. So it's just going to be a community event. It should be cool.
Great. And everyone should tune in tomorrow morning to the local news hour to hear you talk more about that. What time will you be on?
I actually need to check my calendar for that. I believe it's 8:45.
I was going to say probably 8:45. Okay, great. Yep. Well, Adam Loomis, tell me, you also have another, well, someone with the last name of Loomis that I believe was a cross-country skier for the University of Utah. Is this a family thing? Is that, I can't remember the first name.
No relation there, although okay. I do have a brother who's 22 and he's on the US Nordic Combined Team.
Oh.
He's probably one of our brightest stars, already an Olympian, World Junior Championship medalist. So he's one to watch, Ben Loomis.
Ben Loomis. Okay, we will look out for him. He'll be on the circuit this winter. Is there a circuit?
Whatever circuit there is, I think there'll be some World Cup still. So yeah. We'll see.
Excellent. Well, so glad that you could join us, and best of luck to your little team with Park City Ski and Snowboard this year. And good luck with your upcoming endeavors with ultra running. You'll have to come circle back with us and let us know when you do that 100-mile run to Timpanogos.
Sounds great. I appreciate that. It's fun being on.
Yeah. Okay. Take care, Adam.
Thank you. Take care.
Again, that was Adam Loomis. He is an ultra runner with the fastest known time on the Teton Crest Trail that he just recently completed, and now a past Nordic combined athlete, now coaching the youth here in Park City. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcast. You can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.